everyone, welcome to Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton from EEJournal.com, and this week, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a super lineup of EE goodness to throw your way. So, without further ado, let's go. First, let's talk counterfeiting. I know, Amelia, way to start off Fish Fry on a negative note. Jeez. Well, all right. Sure, it's an issue we would rather not think about, but we have to. It's something we have to deal with from bottom to top in our designs. Now, if we think about ourselves, our bodies, what identifies us uniquely? Easy. Our ability to name each superhero in alphabetical order, right? Maybe that's just me. Our dental records and our fingerprints are the easy answer, of course. So, what if we expand that idea to our electronic designs? No, I'm not talking about outfitting every PCB with a set of teeth, because that'd be kind of weird, right? I'm talking about fingerprints. What if each design had its own unique fingerprint? Would this help stem the tide of counterfeit parts? Well, a team of researchers at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology think maybe so. With the help of some silica-coated silver nanowires, of course. So here's the deal. The scientists at CASE based their new research on the notion that fingerprints, real or made out of silver nanowire, are almost impossible to reproduce. Barcodes, part numbers, or even specialized packaging, no problem. But fingerprints, not so fast there, Mr. Counterfeiter. Okay, so here's the deal. CASE's new research program uses silver nanowires that measure somewhere between 10 and 50 micrometers that are then dipped in silica and coated with fluorescent dyes. This solution of nanowires, silica and dye, is then laid onto a thin, flexible sheet of polyethylene terephthalate. And here comes the fingerprint part. This collection of 20 to 30 nanowires ends up lining themselves up in a rather random arrangement, as you can probably imagine. But it's when these tiny dried drops are viewed under a fluorescent microscope that the real magic happens. The wires are then scanned into a software algorithm that pinpoints the colors of the nanowires and the position of the wires. And ta-da! The unique signature of the fingerprint has been created. This signature is then stored into a database to be matched up eventually with the corresponding barcode for that specific design. For you CSI fans, this is the IFAS part. Yeah, I love CSI too. Okay, so this new technology does seem a bit more promising than other counterfeiting countermeasures. But the cost, yeah, you figured that was coming, right? CASE is estimating that these nanowires will have a bomb cost of around $1. Yeah, ouch. So maybe not all of our electronic designs will be able to afford that additional cost. I'm thinking just about every mil-aero design in the world can afford a silver fingerprint, right? What do you think? Check out the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page called High-Speed Converters, Nanowires, and Our Smarter Life. There you can also read a white paper called Anti-Counterfeit Nanoscale Fingerprints Based on Randomly Distributed Nanowires. Cool stuff. Now, some of you out there have been wondering about the latest news from Element 14's Smarter Life Challenge that we talked about on the show a few weeks back. Well, you're in luck. My guest is longtime Fish Fry contributor, Diane Kibbe. Diane is here to give us an update on, yep, you guessed it, Element 14's Smarter Life Challenge. We get to find out who won, what projects they built, and more. Let's chat with her right now. Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So for my audience who didn't hear the last time you were on Fish Fry, tell us about the Smarter Life Challenge that Newark and Element 14 have sponsored.
Okay. In the Smarter Life Challenge, we actually ask members to submit their ideas using the Cypress PSOC 4 Pioneer Kit to basically create new technologies that can be used in your home life, your office environment, or even your car to make life simpler. So some kind of smart technology. The contest actually ran from October through January. We had over 400 submissions, which then went down to 18 competitors.
Very cool. Now, Diane, let's talk about some of those winning entries. The first place winner was Douglas Wong with his smart thermostat. Tell us more about Douglas's project.
Sure. So Douglas Wong is one of our active community members. He's actually from Ottawa, Ontario, and he designed a smart thermostat. His basic premise was that the existing thermostats that we all use are pretty complicated to program. So he developed really a pretty sophisticated but at the same time very friendly user interface. So you could set up your temperature settings remotely by applications on your PC, your mobile device, or even through speech recognition.
So with Douglas's winning entry, he won a trip to Embedded World and got his design shown at the Element 14 booth. Is that right?
It is. For winning first place, he actually gets an all-expenses paid trip to Embedded World, where he'll actually be demoing the functionality in both the Cypress and the Element 14 booth. So actually showing it to everyone that's attending Embedded World.
Now, the second place winner created something called the Smart Bicycle Light. Tell me more about this project.
Sure. So this light actually will turn on when it detects darkness, as well as when motion is detected. He also set it up so it flashes in a bunch of different modes. So if you want it on like a low brightness or a high brightness, or to actually blink in different ways, and it'll even turn off after a period of no movement. So I think for someone that's a serious bike rider, it would really come in handy. As well, it's chargeable via USB and will audibly alert you when the battery is low.
That is really cool. I have several friends who I know would love using one of those lights. So third place, or the People's Choice Award, was awarded to Javier Hernandez, who won with his Geo car. Now, tell me more about this one.
The Geo car, actually, I think I talked about this when we first mentioned this. This was my favorite because it actually allows you to monitor everything that goes on with the car on a particular car trip. So it actually uses GPS, Bluetooth connectivity, and sensors. And it gathers data on where the car has been used. So you can actually, as a parent, for example, get on your smartphone and tell the whereabouts of where the car is, how fast the car was going, how closely it followed another car, and things like that. So it really lets you kind of get all of the data on where a car went and how fast it went.
Very cool. Now, I know some parents who might need that Geo car sooner than later. So, Diane, you brought us a special sneak peek into a new contest that Element 14 is doing. Is that right?
Sure. We launched our new wireless power competition. This is a follow-up to the one we did last year, and this one is actually called Beyond the Phone. So it's in collaboration with Texas Instruments and Worth Electronics. So here, competitors are being asked to submit their ideas using this new wireless power solution to go kit. And what they'll want them to do is actually incorporate wireless power into something, again, that they use in their daily lives and provide a solution with the whole idea of kind of going beyond the wireless phone. So the winner will actually get a new 13-inch MacBook Pro with the Retina display, and the People's Choice Award will actually get a Google Nexus. The competition runs from March 24th until June 27th, so we're really excited about that and looking for a lot of new applicants.
Fantastic. I may just enter myself. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me again, Diane. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
All right, you're welcome.
Now, let's talk about analog to digital conversion. I know. Do we have to? Well, yes. It's becoming a bigger and bigger deal these days, and maybe you need a refresher. Well then, let me direct you to one of the newest episodes of EEJournal.com's wildly popular webcast series called Chalk Talk. In High Speed Converters, What, Why, and a Little How, I'm chatting with David Robertson, VP at Analog Devices, about how to design high-speed converters for today's most demanding applications. If this sounds up your alley or even perpendicular to your alley, you can click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page. You can check out our on-demand section on eejournal.com, or heck, head on over to YouTube. There you can just binge your way through a whole slew of fantastic Chalk Talk episodes and learn a whole lot while you're there. All right, it's time for a little EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and join our circle on Google+. We also have that YouTube channel chock full of techie awesomeness, including that Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. If you know of any cool new technology, even if it's your product, any fun EE conference coming up, I will see you at EE Live next week, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, I personally love pinball, you can shoot me an email at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 28th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.